I was trying to be funny,
right?
But then I thought, you know, I don't know what's going to happen from tomorrow.
Well, don't think.
No, just do, George. Just instinct. That's how we work best. Hello and welcome to the Lib Dem podcast. We are still alive, just about. The world hasn't fallen in just yet. Or if it has, this may be one of the last recordings of mankind. The world still spins despite Brexit. Myself, John Potter, is back with Richard Kemp. Hi, Richard.
Hi, nice to see you back in Liverpool, John.
Yes, and I've been delighted that your good wife has made me chocolate cookies, so this is the only way I can come back. So, you know, I get chocolate cookies, and when you come to my house, you get drooled on by a dog.
Yeah,
so
this
works out fantastically for me.
Have we done the tea and biscuits and podcast yet?
No, not yet. That is, oh, God, so you've put a timestamp on it to the moment.
Right.
That might have come out, but it might not have come out.
Right.
Anyway, we'll see. But yeah, we've got all sorts of podcasts lined up. Do go check us out. So wherever you listen to your podcasts, our whole back catalogue is there. So you can celebrate the victories in Brecon, the victories of the local elections, Richard swearing and had to bleep him out, all sorts of stuff.
Only once.
Yeah, yeah, and it was very funny and it got a lot of laughs. So, but
A lot of laughs. Yeah.
But do go check out stuff. We have stuff that isn't time sensitive, so particularly the ones about making policies, how the Lib Dems do that, and also about how you campaign or how you get started with campaigning. But this one is all about general elections. This is all about the process, how we go through it. What? Because some of you listening to this may not have been a member of the political party or the Lib Dems actually while we've had a general election. Mm. You know, we've had a lot of new members since 2017.
And also a lot of people were members at the last one, but only peripheral.
Yeah.
So we've certainly had a lot of people who were peripheral 2 years ago and now taking leading roles in the party.
And certainly I'm seeing from my local party, everything that's happening with Brexit, proroguing of Parliament, it has energised people to get involved.
Absolutely.
We had a member who has been a member for donkeys for ages, which is lovely, fine, absolutely. And he just said, "I've got to do something.
Yeah,
this is a national emergency, and if I don't step up, I can't complain about other people not."
I've just retweeted someone who's joined the party in Liverpool today. I mean, almost every day I turn my iPad on, and there is the latest set of emails from our membership officer saying, "Write to these people," which is absolutely marvellous. He said, "I had to do something."
Mm.
And in fact, this is slightly off topic, but on Saturday we had a policy meeting. Five people who were very new members, one of whom had only been a member a month, they'd never been to a political meeting before. Had to do something.
Yeah,
was what came out of it. So the question is,
and it's very energising for some of us who have been in the game
absolutely.
For a while. Because we are, and we've said this before, we're kind of bonkers. We actually get energised about, you know, the little stuff like pavement politics and all the rest of it. But actually, you've got to remember, a lot of people get interested because of these big issues. And one of the things the general election does allow us to do, there's always a spike of interest when a general election comes along.
Mm.
And Lib Dems have an opportunity now to engage with these people as they're interested at this time.
Well, everything that's happening at the moment produces another spike of new members, the latest one being Philip Lee joining us, which produced a spike. So I'll turn on my iPad at some stage in the future and find out what happened as a result.
24 hours after Johnson prorogued Parliament, we had six new members in Preston, which was just within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
They're coming
and it was 2,000
the
across the whole country within 24 hours of that happening.
So thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, he's done well.
We're most grateful. Carry on making a fool of yourself.
Yeah. As long as you haven't destroyed the country, we're quite happy for you and Jeremy Corbyn to be as useless as you are.
Absolutely. With our vivacious, excellent young leader, Joe Swinson.
Vivacious?
Is
that right? Yeah, I think that we'll accept that. If that's not the right word, I think we'll
So energized, energetic.
Yes. Okay.
Good looking in the widest sense of.
And we'll just go to Dictionary Corner to see if that's true. Vivacious.
No, what were we talking? I haven't got a clue.
General election.
Well,
okay.
If you had some theme music for tonight.
Yeah.
I would strongly recommend it should be "Who Do You Think You Are Kidding, Mr. Hitler?" Because, in a way, we're a party of volunteers coming yeah. together for a cause, but we should all be Corporal Jones at yeah. the moment. Don't panic, don't panic, yeah. don't panic. I don't actually know how many general elections I've been through now. My first was 1970, and if you tell me you weren't born in 1970...
I wasn't born in 1970, so I was born in 1983. Right. So my...
We had one that year as well.
Yeah. So actually, only in 2015 had I ever been in a Conservative majority. Have I been able to vote against a Conservative majority government?
Well, I've done that before as well. so I don't know how many I've been in, but there's one thing that... I always think, you start off today, if yeah. it was called, you think, we've got to do all this.
Yeah.
How many leaflets can we get out? How many doors can we knock on? And you think, we can't do it. Yeah. And then you get to polling night, you're knackered, and you think, we did it.
Yeah. And it goes
we did most of it.
And it
anyway.
Goes back to our campaigning podcast where we said, if you look at the scale of something, you'll go, oh my goodness, what am I yeah. trying to do? But actually, do a little, do it often, take bites, take breaks, yeah. that's the key.
And what you will find over the course of the election is you'll find that people come in and say, oh, I've got the week off.
Mm.
And you haven't really met them before, they've been peripheral, but they're going to come in, or yeah. there's a particular set of circumstances that mean they can do it, or they'll bring their wife for the first time, and then they get carried away with it. They find they're enjoying eating the biscuits and the tea, as well as doing clerical work. They'll come back four evenings in a row, so you do get those damned envelopes stuffed yeah. ready for the free post.
Here's a question I want to ask, and we might just come to this later, but I want to put it out there for us to think about in the time. So, obviously, targeting is key. You know, that's the nature yep. of first-past-the-post system. You know, one of the problems we had in 2010, again, listen to the podcast me and Lisa Smart did about the general elections and preparing for it and being a target candidate. Is both are very, very good. That in 2010, with Cleggmania and everything else, the party lost focus.
Yeah.
People started to think, in areas where we have no councillors, that suddenly we were going to win. And it was... Yeah.
Three people smiled at me
yeah,
in the street
right.
today.
A whole
yeah.
load of candidates. Yeah. So a whole load of people... got excited about a general election when there's no chance, and we lost focus. Now, what's interesting for someone like myself, and I, this is no thing, so I will fight the seat I'm being selected to fight hard, and I will do what's necessary, and I will represent my party. But in all likelihood, it's not a target seat. You know, there are better Lib Dem prospects in the Northwest I could help out with. And I need to make sure I do help in places like Cheadle and Hazel Grove and Tim Farron's seat up in Westmorland. Now, the difficult balance we've got to get is there'll be people... So people like me, for example, don't mind driving an hour to go help somewhere. There'll be volunteers that come to us here in Liverpool, in Preston, wherever in the country where there's not a target seat particularly close, who just want
to... Well, I'm going to win Wavertree.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. okay, lovely. But who just want to help out locally. In fact, I've had several people on Twitter saying, who just don't like, say, Ben Wallace, the MP for Wyon Preston North, said, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
That is key for us. What do we give them something to do? Because they're not going to go off to Hazel Grove.
No. Well, that's right. So I think every constituency should have a local target, even if it's not the constituency.
Yeah.
So we've agreed a plan which takes us to the next set of local elections in May. So what we've done is to say, how is that relevant to fighting a general election campaign? So I won't go into the technicalities of it, but we will have our literature plan firmly targeted on our winnable wards. Such canvassing as we will do in our winnable ward. So we're fairly compact in Liverpool. So we can say to anyone, there is something for you to do at our headquarters. You can deliver for us. We've got a phone bank. Can you use that for us?
And I think it's important maybe for candidates like myself and yourself, who are in areas like that, to actually, is there some public showpiece event, so whether that's a hustings, a street store, or something like that, it's kind of an easy way for those people to go to. That's something you could invite them to as a way of kind of nursing them into it. But you're absolutely right about using these as a springboard. Because don't forget, you're probably going to do a kind of a leaflet to every house. That's something you don't get a chance to do.
Absolutely.
Because it's paid for by the Royal Mail, so you get a free post.
Delivered by the Royal Mail.
Sorry, yeah. The postage is free. Yeah. That's what I was meant to say. You still have to print off the leaflet yourself and pay for it yourself. So I go back to 2015. So we had been surviving in Preston during Coalition.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, and in a seat there where Labour were miles behind, we knew they were coming at us in 2015, or it was going to be a struggle. Mm. And I used that campaign to basically make sure we diverted resources into keeping that seat, and we kept it by 13 votes. Mm. The next year, once we survived Coalition, we won it by 500. And so using tactically what you can use it for. So I know in Preston next year where our target resources are going to go to, as well as defending what we've already got, where we would look to maybe expand, etc. Mm. And coming up, tying in a general election with your local campaign plan, absolutely key. And every local party should be doing that.
That's right. And if you are what's derogatory described as a target seat, use this as your opportunity to really start in one ward.
Yeah.
Don't take on more than you can chew, because you will be very disappointed. You say, I'm going to canvass every house.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to canvass any house in any constituency, and neither is the Labour Party.
No. And also, you've got to think, if you're saying, it'd be nice, I want to cut talk. So a seat in Preston that Lib Dems haven't done much in, let's say Ribbleton. It's a very urban seat, rock solid Labour, you know. So if I decide to do a little bit of canvassing in Ribbleton, when's the next time I'm likely to canvass that ward?
Mm.
Where it could be years, could be decades for all I know. Mm. So actually, the data gathered from that canvas and the effectiveness of that canvas is virtually minimal.
But what you might choose to do, and again, this is something that we're looking at in three wards in Liverpool. We won't do any canvassing in there, but we will be using the free post system intelligently, not to deliver one to every house, but a three split.
Yeah.
So that everyone will get one, then some will get two, and a few will get three.
And I'll explain this to listeners. So what the options you have when it comes to a general election for that free post literature, you can have one unaddressed leaflet or piece of literature, is probably a better way of saying it, that goes to every house. That's it, one shot. Or if you address something, which does take a bit more time, you have to get it mail merged and all the rest of it. But as Richard said, it's worth the effort, because you can then do one piece of literature per person in that household. So if there's three people and you're very clever and you can sort your splits out, you could have three mailings all posted for free as long as you do that
in
work.
In places
beforehand.
You sometimes have great difficulty in getting into, like flats.
Yeah, actually, and you know, I have some flats across Preston that I have to do, and they're very awkward to get to. Particularly, I find intercom systems very...
Who are you?
Yeah, you feel sure. Hi, Mrs. Smith, it's Councillor Potter. The pizza man. No, it's... And, you know,
anything to get you through the door.
Yeah, that's right. But it is very difficult, and that free... And it's, like I say, you don't get the opportunity a lot to get... Because you work out... If you think about how much postage would cost...
Well, it's 60p, is it?
No, yeah, and going back to Richard's point, which is really important again for listeners, we talked about effectiveness in our Campaigning 101 podcast, about what are the things that are most effective. And number two after door knocking is direct mail.
Yeah.
Having something that's addressed
is
really, really effective. Now, during a general election, it might get watered down slightly, the fact that they get a lot of addressed stuff from a lot of things and people can get a little bit fed up with literature. But still, it is highly effective about getting your message in, and also people are more engaged.
Yes.
You know, a general election, you know, it might double the turnout from the locals. I was going
to say, twice as many people vote, so twice as many people are interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you... But know why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Give yourself an intelligent rationale. So I think that there are some wards where we know our membership has increased in areas that we haven't done much before. I want to test that out. I want to do the box return on the night to see what happened in those wards, not that constituency, to say this is worth it for next year.
Can I just pick up on that? Because that's a very good one. Because we've talked, again, previous podcasts, how important marked registers are and things like that, so you know who's voted. Now, what you you don't always know is right. The start of your next campaign begins at the count of your last one.
Absolutely.
And so I will get, because you don't know how people vote. You can't ever know that. Some guy might tell them they vote Lib Dem every year. So you can kind of be sure, but you never actually 100% know. But what you can see from doing a box count is actually see which areas are doing well for you. Yeah. So at the count, so assume you're in your general election seat and you're thinking, and I'm going to take the fact is you're, you know, a smallish party and you're thinking about, oh, we might win our first ward or we might win a neighbouring ward for the first time. Go into the count. As the ballots have tipped up onto the table during the very first part, which is called the verification, where all they're literally doing is they're not sorting into piles of different parties, they're literally turning them up and bundling them. You do what's basically just a tally chart of actually seeing, and so I'll know, so box one might be the Cadley Causeway part of Cadley.
And you can ask which box it is.
You can, absolutely, yeah. And that's it. And another thing that you can ask, and Rotorians have to do this, is they have to, when they sort those ballots out, they have to be face up. So what you're doing then is seeing, just doing a simple tally chart, okay, out of this box, tick, 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 okay, one Tory, one Labour, two Lib Dem, one Tory, one, and kind of, and it's the only time you'll see in the whole of the year how you're doing in each area. Yeah. And that will help you focus attention. So if I'm in my ward, it was an interesting one for me, actually, because I had two areas which weren't Lib Dem previously because of boundary changes. They weren't in Lib Dem wards, came into my ward. And so I spent a particular amount of time looking at those boxes. Okay, how well did we do in an area that was Tory, now come across to us? We did very well. We got 50% of the vote in that box. So we knew that Tory vote had come across to us. Yeah. In a bit that was in a Labour stronghold and had come across to us, We upped our vote considerably on what we'd got before, but Labour still came out top in that area.
And again, you've got to think how you use your scarce resources on election night. So first of all, don't go and get drunk, although there is a tendency to do that. Then think about which wards you want to go to. So, for example, in the coalition years, the polling district that we're in now in my ward is CHB.
Yeah.
I knew that if I just lost CHB, I'd won the ward.
Yeah.
Because this is our weakest, probably because I live here.
Your neighbours don't vote for you.
Thank you. I wasn't going to say that, but you're probably right. But now we don't really look at church ward because we win every polling district.
Yeah.
So why do we have people say, because I could stand there thinking, oh, look how clever I am. I got 60%.
We'll need a wheelbarrow for all these Lib Dem votes.
Either go to the wards that are marginal, not only so that if we think it's marginal on the night, we've got people watching every ballot paper, but actually to pick up the intelligence for the next time.
Yeah.
And you're right, we're continuous campaigners.
Yeah.
Then we've got the marked registers now for 10 wards. We've transferred all the information about who actually voted.
Yeah.
And that's going to lead us, not so much for the general election, but for next year's local elections. Who said they're a Liberal definite or possible? Did they vote? Right, knock on the door, would you like a postal vote form?
And what I said to the Lancashire Lib Dems, we set up a kind of a Lancashire Lib Dem Facebook group, is that a lot of Lancashire councils had their all outs this year. Now me and you are in authorities that do it every year.
A year off, you don't.
And no, that's true, I have counties in that thing, but a lot of this, things like Fylde, like Wyre, like South Ribble, they all had all outs this year.
Yeah.
And I said to them, look, this is the only chance you're going to get those marked registers, because they only keep them for 12 months.
That's right.
So,
and they cost very little.
Yeah, that's right. And the data you can get to them. It's a bit like, we've talked about the importance of postal voters, knowing who votes. See, and particularly, one of the things you say, we don't have time to target. We just don't have time to target. It's the wrong way of looking at it.
If you don't have time not to target.
Exactly. If you've got scarce resources, which most of us have, we do not have infinite amounts of manpower, money or time.
And it's the same in the other parties as well.
Exactly.
I mean, the others aren't as bad badly off for resource in that context as we are, but no one's got all the resource they need.
But you look at, some of the other parties, and again, this is important to remember that most political parties are quite weak locally. They are run by several people like me and Richard who are like kind of very, very committed to it. And actually, if you get half a dozen new people who are also very committed, you can win an award.
Mm.
You can win several awards. But those people have to facilitate other people, and which is what me and Richard do. So in my patch, I sort out the leaflets and then make sure Joe Bloggs, X, Y, and Z all have their bundles to go out. Mm.
And you lead from the front as well. So yeah. I've been out delivering for the Old Swan by-election this morning.
Yeah.
I doubt very much whether my opposition leaders, as it were, opposing leaders, go out in the same way.
Yeah, that's right. So that takes us about how every general election, no matter if you're a target seat, whether you're a development seat, whether you are really just starting out from scratch almost after the coalition, there's always something to, there's always goals, there's always something to play for.
Be realistic, have a plan, stick to it. Don't think you're going to win. If you've only got 10% last time, you ain't going to win a seat.
No.
But you might get it up to 20% and get two development wards. So have your plan.
And also, something like, also, what can you do? Maybe I want to, like those members who have never done anything, like I mentioned earlier about, maybe your plan is to actually contact all of them.
Yeah.
Get them involved. Get them delivering a leaflet bundle for the first time or something.
Yeah, just something. Well, what we're doing, which may be coincidental and it may not work, but we've already booked a place on the 20th of September, and we did this weeks ago.
Yeah.
To have a new members, well, we invite all our members to meet, mingle and muster with a bar. If there isn't a general election, there'll be just be two or three speeches, but really come and get to know who your councillors are, etc., and get to know each other, build your team up. But it'll be our election launch. Mm. And I think it's always worth, at a general election, having a bit of razzmatazz.
Yeah.
Even if there's only 20 of you in a room, there's probably usually only five of you in the room. So don't hire a huge hall.
No.
You're not going to get, you know, mass rallies.
Yeah.
But fill a room, so make sure you have the right size room. Get 20 in, and it doesn't half give you a lift.
Yeah, and it's a bit like we've talked about conference. You know, it's about being amongst like-minded people. Gives you a little, because it can be a lonely old friend. We've talked about coalition and what it did, and some of us, it was that thin orange line of us where we thought it's just a couple of us beating, you know, shields up, getting hit all the time. And actually, we're in that place now, and that, where there are people willing to come forward that didn't come forward before.
Well, like my five new members turning up for a policy discussion.
Yeah.
And do you know what was important about that? I mean, it's slightly off track, but they all knew things about their subject that we didn't.
Yeah.
Because one of them was a commercial lawyer.
Yeah.
What could he say about Brexit and some of the problems? Another was a teacher. Well, on that table was doing a facilitator, was another teacher.
Yeah.
But someone who'd prepared for it from their experience. Yeah, so get together. If you're lucky if you have 200, but if you get 20, that's probably more than you've ever had. Mm. Have a bit of fun. It doesn't involve alcohol, but sometimes that's quite nice. Yeah, get a few bob together, because people will come in.
Yeah,
make yourself easy to contact.
Yeah.
So do that. Then, if there are hustings called, and there are less and less hustings meetings.
Yeah, obviously, I've been a parliamentary candidate three times. And only properly the last two, if I'm being honest. The first time I was a paper candidate just for 2010. And the hustings are few and far between and actually tend to be religious based.
Yeah, and that's all right because they vote.
Yeah.
And the other thing that people get annoyed about, but I don't, and it's a bit more difficult with GDPR, but you'll get lots of people emailing if you're the parliamentary candidate. Yeah. Do not lose that information.
So the way I kind of do it now, and GDPR has made it more tricky.
Yeah.
So previously, in 2015 and 2017, you got rafts of emails. I mean, because there's all these websites that do whatever kind of automated.
This is how to find your candidate about fox hunting.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
The big
fox
one,
hunting got loads.
Thousands.
Whether
of
it's
buggers.
Summer-born children, you'll get. I mean, on one of my email things, I've had a list of all these different topics that came up in the journal, and there were dozens upon dozens upon dozens, all with various things. And I used to respond to them, And they'd have a disclaimer on the bottom saying, yeah. I might use blah, 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 blah. Now, that's changed. GDPR has changed that now. So you actually need them to opt into it. But in responding to them, you give them the option, a link to be able to do it.
That's right.
They have taken that first step.
Yeah.
Now it's up to the candidates or the candidate staff, if they're lucky enough to have staff, to make sure they use that opportunity.
Yeah.
But
don't just write them off. Oh, I'm fed up with the bloody emails about fox hunting.
Yeah.
The important word there wasn't fox hunting. It was emails, which you can then use. And yes, you've got to get them to opt in, and it's a bit more complicated, but well worth it. And if you don't do it at the time, or that you know they go getting the disclaimer bit in, just respond, put it in an archive file or an Excel. Mm. Then do the thing. Can we now contact you regularly? Yeah. I can't remember the word.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, like I say, GDPR has made this whole thing a little bit more awkward. And this will be the first election under GDPR, so there'll be guidance on all that. But for the most people, other than the actual candidates, that's not going to be something they have to deal with, really.
No.
And also, I think we should probably just say, well done to everyone who are putting themselves forward as a candidate for the
Absolutely.
First time. I'm seeing a lot on Twitter, you know, only just joined the party. Yeah. This is means so much to me. I'm going to stand for the first time.
Yeah.
Good luck. And I suppose a bit of advice we could give to candidates is that, you know, it's okay to say you don't know something. Never blag it. Never ever blag it. That's one of the things, because you will get hit with topics. And I said Summerbourne before. In one of the general elections,
which I can't remember, is that children's home?
No. Summerbourne is children who are born during summer months, so they miss out on the
year. I didn't know what that was.
And so they then are disproportionately punished in the education system because they're virtually either the youngest in that year group, and actually could probably be. It's about giving parents an option to maybe put them back a year.
Yeah, or when you introduce kids into the system.
And
anyway,
I had no idea that was an issue. And actually, the party's very good at giving guidance on some of these
issues.
If
you don't know, the party does.
Yeah. But so don't blag it. And that's actually the same you can say for any election. I've been talking to new campaigners that have come through to Preston, and one of them was going, what if I don't know a particular issue? Say you don't know. Say, I don't know right now, I'll talk to my colleagues or I'll look into it
and
I'll get
back
to you.
Or even better, the first thing is to say, I don't know a lot about this, what do you want to tell me?
Yeah, that's right,
Because people are actually quite realistic, they're quite reasonable. They don't think you're an expert on everything. So I go and see a psychiatrist about the children's
just
mental
generally.
Health. So, perhaps that wasn't a good job, but I've just been doing stuff on children's mental health, which is what I thought. They know I'm a politician. In this case, they know I'm a politician that's interested, but they know I'm not a consultant psychiatrist.
And I think of the tens of thousands of doors I've knocked on, you know, in the years I've been a campaigner and a councillor. I think maybe once I've had someone who said, well, I can't believe you don't know about that issue. You know, it's just not that way. People are happy that you are trying to engage them on the issue. And like I said, I can't really remember any time where someone said, well, I don't think I can vote for you if you don't know about this issue.
Not on a national topic. If it's something in your ward and you're a councillor, reasonably you should be on top of it. Even then.
But if you're a new campaigner, again, and you said, look, I've recently moved to the area, I'm starting out kind of thing, most people will give you a lot of leeway with it.
I've come here to learn.
Yeah, that's
I'm knocking on your door
because
your opinion to me is more important, actually, than my opinion to you.
Exactly, exactly.
And it should be, actually, for most of them, particularly outside the election time itself. I go to listen, not to talk.
The first question I always pose when I canvass is, we're doing our rounds. Are there any issues or problems you want to report to us?
I say this.
Make it about them.
This is my annual visit outside the election, just to find out if you've got anything you want us to raise for you, your family or your city.
Yeah.
And most people say no. Which is just as well.
Yeah, that's right. And then, some people have a chuckle and then say, oh, actually, get my list, my notebook out.
And then you say, of course, the reason we don't tell people in advance, although we do now, is because otherwise you give us a long list. But they don't.
No,
they don't.
And then it leads me perfectly to the next question. Well, if there is anything else you can do, here are your list of campaigners or your candidates. Yeah. Anything you want to, here's our contact details. Please let us know. And then
And again, that's an important thing to think about, the information that comes back to the party during the election, because some of it might be nothing to do with national politics.
Yeah.
It might be their first opportunity to find someone to talk about a relatively small neighbourhood matter. I can't deal with it now. You'll appreciate that, don't you? They say, oh, yes, I know you must be busy. I'll come back after the election and can we have a proper chat
about it? And the same is true during local elections, is when, because council's going to purdah, which is a posh way of saying that they don't make any political decisions, kind of thing. and officers are very busy with doing the stuff. You can actually say to residents, and they universally understand, say, look, it's the middle of a jet election period. They'll be getting casework left, right, and centre. Officers' times, very busy. So actually, it may take a little bit longer to get back on this issue. And again, people, I've never had a resident really that's went, well, that's disgusting, or anything like that.
Sometimes you're pressed the call and you think, bloody hell, I've got to deal with that. That's fair enough, something that's come up.
If there's an emergency thing like something comes
most
up.
Most people are reasonable.
Yeah.
And they say, I mean, there are some that say, well, you're only coming around as an election, so I want this before you vote. I say, I'm sorry, I can't deliver it. I'll tell you that now. I'll try and do it after the election, but I'm not going to make you a promise. I can't get it. So,
you know what? And even to the point where I've done that, and I have no problem doing this, because again, it goes back to a previous conversation we had in a different pod where I don't try and please everyone. Because some people will want something you can't give, so I'm thinking of during the last county elections, someone said to me, I want a new bus route. And I just was honest. I just had to say, look, in the current financial climate of council, I could promise you it. Yeah. I could say, I'm going to fight for that bus route. I'm going to be honest with you and say, in the current financial climate, it is highly unlikely this bus route will thing. And anyone that promises you it is either lying to you or is only going to do it as a general election bribe and you'll get it for a year, and in which case, what's the point?
You've been listening to Mr. Johnson,
haven't you? I get it pretty universally. People go, okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I had one chap who said, and it was unbelievable when he said it to me, but you just have to accept some people are odd. He said, I'd rather vote for someone who I think might be lying for me if he's lying for something I want. Mm. But
if most people are obdurate about this, they ain't going to vote for you anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
My guess, because they're saying it to everyone.
Yeah.
And they don't mean it, because... in a way, we don't want their vote because they're not being reasonable people, and we want reasonable people to vote reasonably.
Yeah, that's right. And so, that's the line of saying, look, don't worry about if you don't know something.
Yeah,
you know. And actually, general elections, you'll find you'll learn lots.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that perhaps worth looking at is again what the party does for you during the general election is different than local elections. So just suppose you're the candidate, you've got 12 people helping you, none of whom's a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, because if you're just doing a one leaflet drop, you get a template in something, I can't remember what program it is.
It's called Page Plus.
Page Plus, yeah. And all you've got to do is work out how to slip a photograph and an address in it.
And actually, and even some of the, things like Election Workshop, who are affiliated with the party but are a separate company, they're doing something where you will basically just send them the photos and they will drop it in even easier service.
And then they'll send it to your printer. Yeah,
exactly, because they'll be happy for the money.
Don't be ashamed of what you don't use. But I always come back to this. We do all the technicals, but what's good about the general election, even when we were at our weakest, and we ain't going to be at our weakest in this election, is the camaraderie of it.
Yeah.
Knowing that even if there's only six of you out in X constituency, there's 6,000 people out delivering at that time for the Liberal Democrats. You're part of a cause, a movement.
One of the other things that about a general election you have to be aware of is that you will need to find a deposit. Now, in the last two, particularly 2015, we lost lots of deposit. And for a general election, it's £500. If you get over 5% of the vote, you get that back. Now, Police and Crime Commissioners, it's £5,000 or something stupid, but we'll ignore them because the Police and Crime... Everything about the Police and Crime Commissioner elections are stupid, going right to the point they shouldn't be existing and neither should the rolls. Anyway, we're going back to the general election.
You feel better now?
Yeah, I do. It's one of those, again, it's another bugbear of mine. But going back to a general election, so, you know, we did have a raft of deposits lost. I mean, we calculated in Preston what our base vote was. So an area where we've done no campaigning, nothing at all, wouldn't consider it even remotely Lib Dem, we were still getting 10% of the vote. You know, that's, and that was in the local elections. So the idea that we're going to get less than 5% of the vote across the whole patch is not a concern for me now.
No. We lost in Liverpool, there are five constituencies. We lost four deposits last time. Before that, up to 2010, we were on 20% of the vote. My gut feeling is that we're going to go up to between 15 will be our base.
It'd be very interesting if it follows the polling. You know, Lib Dems kicking around the 20% mark is interesting.
That means I could win.
But it's interesting because obviously that's 15%. That's assumed nationwide, and all polling take with a huge pinch of salt because there's always local factors. But in an area, say, where we are in Liverpool, where the Tories don't exist, you know, Labour get X amount. How much more percentage above that 20% could Lib Dems get? It's exciting. It is.
I must say, I am looking forward to this election more than I have the last two general elections, to be honest. Yeah. I think we're going to do well. I don't know how well. I think our boat is floating. We've got more people. Part of the general election will be training them.
Yeah.
So we're going to have opportunities for people to understand how to run a ward. They won't be running the ward, but because they'll be an agent for the constituency. So there are things that you can do. I just think it's going to be more fun.
And if you're a newish member, and this does happen, you do hear stories that even within Lib Dem local parties, there's sometimes disagreements, there's sometimes people not on the same page. And sometimes it's established people within a local party that don't want to change. I get that. You know, when I was doing the agency stuff for the Northwest Euro campaign, some local parties are so far behind the times in terms of, you know, modern day canvassing and campaigning and things like that. And you're feeling frustrated. So, or you're in a, and the local party, what we've talked about this episode, about there's an opportunity to do something. Some local parties will be run by people that don't want to do anything. If that is the case, do not pack your books up and go home. Contact the region, go on the Facebook groups, see if there's something locally nearby where you can do something. So if this isn't the case, but just say if you lived in Fylde, for example, this, and this isn't the case because I know the Fylde Lib Dems, but just say the Fylde Lib Dems were doing absolutely nothing, then contact the Preston Lib Dems and see what we're doing. And we will come and we'll sort something out.
Absolutely. So don't flog a dead horse by yourself. Come and...
Or get disheartened. I'm just worried. I'm worried about new people. Who think, oh, I'm really excited, I really want to do something. Oh, there's nothing happening.
Well, and the way we've treated some new people, there are some parties who've never even emailed people who've joined, and then 2 years later, they've left. Now, we've had a churn, but every time someone joins us, they get an email from our membership officer, they get one from me. We invite them to something reasonably quickly. So we, I think I said in one of our podcasts, we keep having to have regular new members events because there are so many new members,
which is
why we decided to invite all the membership now. It was easier and cheaper. But yes, it is upsetting, but no one is too far away from a vibrant party. They might be small and vibrant, but vibrant.
We're going to do... I don't think there's much more else to talk about regarding general elections. One thing I will say to new candidates, and particularly I remember when you do hustings, I want to talk to them, and they can be seem like they're going to be terrifying. You're up against perhaps a really established MP who's been around for a long time or something like that. Or you think, oh, what if I get... You think the local journalist is going to be Andrew Neil or something like that, that sort of thing.
Journalists? I don't think there are local journalists left, are there?
I have to say, in all the hustings I've done, and I've done quite a few of them, most of them are pretty tame. They don't actually allow you back and forth.
You've got two minutes each?
It's fairly... I mean, personally, me, because I like a good old chat and a good old discussion, is that I would quite like a bit of back and forth to come back on something that the Tory MP has said or something like that. But actually, most of them don't see it. It's like, okay, opening speech, blah, 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 blah. Everyone does it in usually a random order. And then you have topic. Okay, the next topic will be on fox hunting or something, or Brexit or something. Yeah. Each of you has 2 minutes to talk about it. And it's just, and it is very regimented. And it's a shame because I don't think you get the best out. You get kind of stock answers and actually, but that's
well,
just
the interesting
me.
Of course, if you don't get stock answers, but that doesn't happen. It's like Question Time on the telly.
Yeah.
I'd never watch it because I know what these buggers are going to say.
Exactly. So if you are, but I still do the hustings. It's one of the things you can do. It's a crowd. And actually, when you go to a crowd of hustings, you'll generally find there's a lot of people who already know how they're voting.
Yeah.
So go, bring some of your friends, bring some of your colleagues. I once bought my wife. She'll never do it again. She found 2 hours of politics.
Did you take the dog?
No, I didn't have a dog at that point. Poor Bosley wasn't even born at the last election. And so,
which election was that?
Oh, no, I don't know. He was actually. Oh, I'm completely.
Yeah, thinking. I was going to say. How old that dog is?
He's 4 years old. Did we have?
2017.
Yeah, we've had him. So did we have him that time? Oh, sorry, this is terrible. What a bad
fancy
father.
Not
what a bad
when you got
when
your dog.
When did I pick up the
well,
dog?
Well, I don't know where my, kids are. So. Yeah.
I think it was Christmas that year, so we didn't own him at that point.
Right. Well, that was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, anyway. But
for the potters.
But I don't think there's anything more to a general election we need to talk about.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you a chance to do something, talk about big issue politics. And the enjoyment thing's really important. And it goes back to what we're saying about making goals. If you're stressing yourself out about winning an election, most of you listening to this...
ain't going to do it.
You're not a target candidate. You're not in a
but
target seat.
Know that what you're doing is keeping our national numbers up, which are important for our MPs. It's tying up people from the other parties who might also, they don't do it in the same way that we do, or Labour do, go off to help someone else. You're tying them down. So no matter what you're doing, you're helping Joe Swinson, you're helping the party, you're helping our country. Yeah. Do your bit.
Yeah, and the only thing I can recommend right now that you start doing is thinking about if you can start putting money aside for that free post leaflet. Even if it's just the one hit unaddressed, you will not get another opportunity perhaps in 5 years to be able to hit every single
every
house.
Every 2 years at the
moment. Yeah, at the moment, to hit every house. So if you can only do one thing, get some money saved up to try and get
and
that
roughly
unaddressed.
Roughly a constituency, because we've just got some prices for an unaddressed one, 40,000, full colour, A4, about 450 quid.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were going to say. That is about right. And so you might think, but that is easily achievable. I mean, we have a couple of guys who just donate every general election a couple of £100 or something like that.
So you've paid for one free post.
Yeah, that's right. So, but like I said, enjoy it. We have no idea when this podcast will go out. It'll probably be fairly soonish because we might be in the middle of a general election by the time it goes out.
Well, let's try and get it out before nomination day.
Yes, that's going to
be 10 days off minimum.
That's true.
On the date that we're not supposed to tell you we're actually recording this.
Yeah, that's right, because it's always a problem when we do these podcasts because we always do a breaking news podcast, which we've already recorded for today, and then we have to try and do podcasts that are going to... not completely be out of date by the time we put them out.
Otherwise, he has to come to Liverpool and I have to go to Preston.
That is true. Even though we love seeing each other, Richard, we do.
And the biscuits are good here.
They are excellent.
I'm not so sure of the dog drool, but...
he's such a good boy. And Lisa loved him. So, you know, that's...
Yeah.
But thank you so, so much for listening. Please follow Richard on Twitter and make sure you read his blog posts. They are excellent. I think it's called What Does Richard Kemp Think?
That's my daughter's idea, yeah.
Was it? Yeah, it's quite good.
Actually, the answer is usually not very much.
But follow Richard. He is a bastion of Lib Dem knowledge. It has been for a long, long time. And he is the devil incarnate to Labour in Liverpool. So it's always fun listening to their exchanges on Twitter. you can follow myself at John Potter LD. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and I have a Facebook page. But more importantly, go on to the Lib Dem Pod social media. Again, that's at Lib Dem Pod. Do subscribe to us, do share it around, do like and do comment. We love hearing what your thoughts are on every episode. Thank you so, so much for all the support we've had in the past. Go listen to some of our old episodes as well. We really appreciate it. Personally, I want to thank Richard again for being with me today, and we will no doubt meet up soon, Richard, because politics is changing by the hour.
It might have to be Friday.
Yes, it might.
But in the meantime, our best wishes to you all.
Yes.
You won't necessarily get what you deserve, but let's together make sure our party gets what it deserves.
Absolutely. And I can't think of any better way than ending this podcast. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.